Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, simply entitled this, "By It You May Grow Up." Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study.
Don't get focused on numbers. Focus on discipleship. Focus on discipleship. That's why, like, we offer things like a men's group, and we do 1 week where it's just fellowship. It's just a chance for us to come together and just hear each other and what's going on in our lives. And then we come together and we do Effective Prayer by Chuck Smith. And the women have theirs as well. I'm not going to try to name that. Who's got the name right? Did you get the name right? I think Ira got it right once. Stormy O'Martin. I don't think I can ever get it right. O'Martin. There you go. Stormy O'Martin. The women are in that one. I get it wrong every time. So when you look at growing in respect to salvation, we look at the early church. People got saved. People got into the Word of God. People got together through fellowship. They opened their homes and broke bread together. And then what did they do? They prayed. They prayed. They prayed. So when I look at this and I think to myself, how do you grow? What is the way that you grow? Right? Because it says, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Right? To increase. You're continuing to increase. You don't stop increasing until you go home to be with the Lord. You don't stop growing until you go home to be with God. And so I have to ask one question. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? A bonsai tree or a redwood? How is your faith? How are you growing as a Christian? Are you the little bonsai tree? You've been walking with God for 30 years and you're this big. Are you the big redwood tree where they can put a truck in there, right? Roots go deep. Storms don't knock them down. See, if we're to grow, that's one of the things that we have to think about as we grow. Again, Jesus must increase and you must decrease. There's an acronym that Pastor Joe shared many, many years ago, probably 2012. And it has stuck with me ever since. We were talking about acronyms yesterday in the men's study. What is an acronym? ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication, right? Joe came up with an acronym for growth when he taught on 1 Peter. And I stole it from Pastor Joe Marquez. So y'all, all right? So like, he's the one with the brilliant mind, not Mike. I've added some stuff to it, you know, kind of dove into it. But his growth acronym is go to the Lord in prayer daily. Read the Word of God or listen to it. O is obedience and application to God's Word. W is witness to others. T is trust in the Lord with your time, talent, and treasure. And then H, the Holy Spirit should be God in your life. Now we're going to spend a little bit of time. I don't know how far. How much time we got? I'm going to see how far I get. I'm probably only going to get through the going. We're going to probably just get through the G today. Remember, I said this was a two-parter. So if you like cliffhangers, come back next week, right? And you'll get the rest of it. But the first one is G. Go, and the reason why I give you this, we talk about and before I jump into it, we talk about relationships all the time. Relationship over religion. What if you've never had a healthy relationship in your life? Have you ever thought about that? Like, so when they tell you, it's relationship over religion, and you go, I've never had a healthy relationship in my life. I don't know what that is. What if your relationship with your father was never healthy? So the first thing I tell you is you're going to have a relationship with God the Father. You're going to think Father earthly and go, I don't want that. But when I'm telling you, you have a relationship with Abba Father, who's perfect, who's holy, who's just, who's loving, you just go down those attributes. And we're going to go through all those attributes when we go through the A.W. Tozer book. We're going to spend the whole summer doing that. Because in order for your relationship to grow, you need to know those attributes. But a relationship, a healthy relationship with God, is that God wants to hear from you. God wants to spend time with you. No relationship grows if you don't spend time in it. Now, if you've never had your father in your life, you may go, man, I don't even understand that, what it means to have a relationship with God. Well, if you long for the pure spiritual milk and you implement these things, you'll grow. Because I'm telling you, Mike, this changed the direction of my walk when I heard this. I mean, it was just like a light switch going off. Because I was like, oh, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, there are probably other things that you could add to this, but this was like, for me, I needed an SOP, a standard operating procedure. I'm a military guy. And so I was like, well, what do I do? What does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean to have a healthy relationship with God? Why is religion bad, right? You just go over all those things that are going on. So if you have a new believer in your life and you're discipling them, disciple them correctly. Spend time talking about all this stuff because they have questions and you need to answer them. So the first one we have is go to the Lord in prayer. And I added daily, get quiet with the Lord, pray without ceasing. I love what Pastor Chuck said. Pastor Chuck in our book yesterday said the Christian has one source of power in his life, the Holy Spirit. He is the source and power in our life. However, your greatest outlet of spiritual power is prayer. This is the one thing that's the most neglected in the church. You can do more for this church through prayer than you can through works and service. So if you're in a season where you go, man, I'm a mom, I got all these kids, they're driving me crazy, I can't serve, I would like to serve, but I just can't, pray. Can you pray for the church? Can you pray for the pastor? Because Lord knows he needs it, right? Pray. It's the greatest source of power. Like, it's like, man, you have the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in you, and he's like, just let's go to the Lord and pray. And then one of the things that you have to do is like understanding who you're coming before. Like Abba Father, God the Father who created everything in the world is saying, I want to spend time with you. You have the privilege to go talk to him. Like he's wanting to hear from you. And that line is always open. You know, sometimes you'll call a friend and it goes straight to voicemail. Not with God. It's never turned off. Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 through 22 says, and Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do as been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive in if you have faith. It's like, do you want to be used by God? Do you want your life, like for me, the way I looked at it when I came to faith, it was like, Lord, all I have left is yours. I wasted 39 years of my life. Whatever time I got left, it's yours, God. And trust me, the VA told me you'll be dead by the time you're 50. I was told 40 at one time, too. He's trying to kill me. So if I die, just blame it on the government. They always are throwing things up against the wall, man. That's the VA. You want socialized medicine, come with me to the VA. And then you'll change your mind very quickly. When you have to wait 14 months as your bulging disc in your neck is fried and your arm's twitching and they go, we don't have a neurosurgeon for 14 months. What do you do? Well, I guess you just got to let it work itself out. That's the VA. But see, what happens is I thought I was, man, I was 39 years old. I thought I wasn't going to live but to 40. And God goes, no, I'm the one who says when you come home. And then 50 passed, and I'm like, well, maybe 100. Who knows? Right? But when I read that and I go, but man, he says, if you pray it and you believe it, like you can just, that mountain can be taken up and thrown into the sea. We don't pray that big. You don't pray that big. And it's like if you have faith and you know, the one thing that the disciples asked Jesus is teach us how to pray. They didn't ask to be this dynamic speaker. They didn't ask like, hey, can you teach me how to do that healing? They asked, teach me how to pray. Why? Because Jesus' life displayed it. And a disciple will display prayer in his life if it's important. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place where, and there he prayed. He had spent a day in ministry, a crazy day in ministry, teaching, healing, talking, praying over people. And then he goes and does what? He gets up early in the morning and goes to pray. And guess who starts noticing this? The disciples do. And they say, teach us how to pray. And throughout Scripture, we see like these are elements that are very important to the believer's life for growth. Is prayer. Like if you want that relationship to grow, there are a few aspects that we need to pay attention to in prayer. And that is five things that should happen. One, your relationship. Two, worship. Three is confession. Fourth is petition. And the last is intercession. Your relationship. Again, this goes back to, is he your Abba Father? Because he says it very clearly in Matthew 6, verse 9. Pray like this. This is what Jesus says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I was in my head going to King James, and I have it here as ESV, so I'm sorry. Right? That's what I get. But he's like, look, you have the privilege of coming to the Father. This is your part of your relationship. You want to grow in your relationship with Christ? Spend time talking to him. It doesn't need to be some long, drawn out, like have you ever been in prayer and you're like, dude, come on, man, we got to eat. Like, we were just blessing the meal, right? I'm not the only one that's like that. Come on, right? I'm like, Lord. But it's your relationship, and he wants to hear from you. The other thing is worship. That's the other aspect of prayer. Jesus taught that it's worship. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name. It's like it's important, and that goes back to Acts chapter 4, verse 24. It says, the Lord your God. When Peter and John began their prayer, it says, the Lord your God who made heaven and earth and sea and all is them. They focused on the character of God and worshiping God for the mighty works that he's done. And they're standing in awe of his Father because they're in his presence. Like, do you come into it like, okay, let me speed prayer. And you're just whipping that stuff out. And you're just, there's no adoration, there's no confession, there's no thanksgiving, there's no supplication. Let's get this done so I can go to bed. You should be convicted. And if you are, you need to repent. Because it is understanding, like it is worship for you to go to him in prayer. The next thing is adoration. So it's important for us as a component is adoration. He's the living God, the creator of all things, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Like, do you pray the scriptures? Do you understand, like, for you, it's not necessarily like you can open, like, for some reason we think, okay, I got to close my eyes. You can open the Word of God and read the Word of God and pray it and then start your prayer. But we, see, these are things we don't talk about. Do you understand why Christians, like these young believers, are struggling? Because nobody's teaching them. This generation has no teacher. I've been telling my son, I'm praying for my son. Y'all pray for Matt. So I'm like, that dude's 21 years old. He could speak to this generation with the proper Word of God. Verse by verse. But I'm like, we need to be able to teach the next generation. And if you're not living it, how can you teach it? This is what discipleship is. Like, you stick next to my hip and walk with me. That's what pastors do. Like, come next to my side, stick with me. Now, unfortunately, man, there are pastors that are a mess. Hopefully, if you see a character flaw, run. Okay? Seriously. If you think, man, that's a compromise. If he's like Eliashib, you need to find another church. Sorry. But at the end of the day, these are the things that we're supposed to be living. And so for me, it's like we have men that I try to keep on my hip and like, let's do life together. Let's pray. Let's talk. That's part of it. Because I expect them to do the same thing, to grab somebody and do that with them. Discipleship is such an important component. And when we think about adoration, it's like understanding, like we teach them what it means about adoration, that he's the almighty God, that he's all-knowing. Like, he knows the beginning and end of your story. Do you think he deserves adoration? How quickly are you going into your prayers? The other thing, part of the aspect of prayer, is confession. And one of the things it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." You know, confession is a hard thing, but if you are in sin, you need to confess your sin. Just because your past, your present, and your future sins been paid for don't mean that you just get to go do whatever you want. You should be confessing sin daily. There's stuff you did this morning just as you got here that needs to be confessed, right? Hey, let's be honest. Oh, it's Sunday. I don't mean, you still sin on Sunday? Because we all have that sin nature in us. But a lot of Christians believe because their past, their present, and their future sins been paid for by the blood of Christ, oh, I can do whatever I want. No, you cannot. And that's why the Apostle Paul corrected, hey, y'all were supposed to be on pure spiritual milk. But y'all ain't even drinking the milk now. You're living in the flesh. Because the world is increased in your life and Jesus is decreased. So we confess our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God already knows every sinful word, every sinful thought, every deed that you've committed. He's wanting you to come to him, confess it, and get right because you're his child. In Psalm 139, verse 23 through 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." And then finally, we have the petition and the supplication. The petition is this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, "Give us this daily our bread, this day daily our bread." And it's like the things that we lack in our personal relationship with God, we can be so busy and we think about just our individual needs, but it's like, what about other people? Do you pray very narcissistic? Ooh, I'll go hide behind the curtain while y'all think that one over, right? Is it all about you? It shouldn't be. The last of it is when we get to intercession. And intercession is just simply, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, we have our time of petition and supplication, but you also need to understand, like, it's intercession that our prayers ultimately would be moved to intercession. We come beyond the worship, beyond the confession, beyond the focusing on our own needs, and now we're bringing the needs of others to the Lord's attention. And so when we think about it, I mean, we have a prayer line that we have online and that we do through the WhatsApp, and we got woken up early Friday morning with two back-to-back incidents. One, a car accident, and two, somebody struggling with kidney stones. And so what do? We pray. We pray for them. We pray for the travel because somebody had to come from California. Y'all know how hard it is to get out of California. It's not easy. They want to tax you and stuff, man. You don't get to just leave California, man. Gavin Newsom's not going to allow that. But so for us, it's like when we pray for others, it's praying for without ceasing. And that's just 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And I love that verse because the will of God is wrapped up in that. It says, rejoice always. That's hard to do, right? If we're honest, that's hard to do at times. But you can rejoice because you have the Abba Father. But he says, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in not some of the circumstances, but all. all the circumstances, for this is the will of God. That's the will of God. So part of the will of God is you rejoice in all ways, you pray in without ceasing, and you give thanks for all circumstances. You understand when you're doing that, you're doing the will of God? People will say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. It's in the Bible. If you're longing and drinking the pure spiritual milk, there are scriptures that talk about the will of God. We gave you two already today, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and this one. So prayer should not be done on a clock. It should not be looked upon as an obligation, as work, as a duty. It's worship. It's worship. And we got through just the first part of the acronym. But stay tuned, because next week we'll go through the rest of it, right? I knew we weren't going to finish it, and that's okay. So next week, we'll actually, as we think about the pure spiritual milk, and we look at the second half of this, that it's tasted good, we'll finish that acronym out. But growing up in respect to salvation, the simple application for you today is Jesus increasing and you decreasing. Because the early church, that's what happened. Okay? Is the Word of God increasing in your life or decreasing? Is prayer increasing in your life or decreasing? Is fellowship increasing in your life or decreasing? It's simple. Do you actually break bread? We broke bread this past Sunday. I don't know how much bread we broke. I think we broke meat. Which was a great time of fellowship. And the best part of it, the kids got to run wild. So the parents actually had time to fellowship. But, you know, at the end of the day, as part of just the early church, we spend time in the Word of God. We spend time in fellowship, admonishing each other with the Word of God. We break bread together, and then we pray. That's what an Acts 2:42 night is. Why do we do that? That's what the early church did. Why is that really this? You know, if you look at every ministry in Calvary Chapel, if they don't do those four basic things, they're not a ministry in Calvary Chapel. Why? You have to spend time together, even within a ministry. Praying together, reading the Word together, fellowship, breaking bread together. And as soon as we get done with the women's, we're going to go back to probably doing the home thing again for a while, where we meet in homes, so that way the kids can play and the moms can meet, or either the dads can babysit. Hello. Oh, man, I'm going to hit you guys one more time before we close up. That's another piece of application. Mother's Day is not just one day out of the year. Don't look and do stuff like, oh, I'm going to pick up around the house on this day. 364 other days of the you should be doing it all too. You know how to do laundry. Your mama taught you. Do your laundry. Help do laundry. Help out. Right? You know what's crazy? Most moms, all they want for their Mother's Day is for their kids to come to church. What do men want? To leave their families and go play golf or fish. Right? Let me get away from my... Hey. But I mean, at the end of the day, guys, treat her special every day. Okay? Your time here on earth is limited. Limited. And you're not promised tomorrow. Allow Jesus to increase in your life and the world to decrease. Stop seeking the candy of the world. Start getting into the Word of God. You need the bread. You need the pure spiritual milk. You need the bone and the marrow at some point. If you've been walking with God for more than 5 years, you better start growing. Because if you look like that little bonsai tree, what's wrong? What's going on? Again, as we go through this growth acronym, this is a heart check for all of us. Trust me, I'm going through it again. I haven't looked at this thing in a couple years. I think we taught this 2 years ago. And I was like, man, I got some things Mike needs to work on. Hey, my feet are made of clay too, and pastors need to work on their prayer time and their time in the Word. My time in the Word to teach is different than my time in the Word with God personally and my time in the Word with my wife. That's all different. And sometimes the business of ministry, we can start neglecting those things. And then what happens is we allow the world to start to increase and Jesus to decrease. Don't turn into the bonsai tree. Don't let me see you be this big redwood and then all of a sudden you back down to being a bonsai tree. Just walk with God, man. In that beautiful relationship with your Abba Father. Not earthly. The God of creation. The Abba Father is your dad. Whatever was not provided to you here on earth, oh, he's perfect. He's holy. Everything you need. And it's all in his word. And he's like, hey, I want to hear from you in prayer. Let's pray. Y'all are like, Mike, stop.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.